Thank you, everyone, for standing by. Just need to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Glynn De St. Juri. You may begin, ma'am.
Would you like me to do a roll call for the transcription, Stefan?
If you would, Glynn, thanks very much.
Yes, please. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On the call today, we have Tony Harris,
yes.
Jeff Eckhout, Barry Cobb, Stefan van Gelder, Avery Doria, and for staff, we have Margie Malin, Liz Gaster, Marika Koenig, and Glynn De St. Juri, myself. Could I remind you all, please, to say your name when you talk for the transcription services? Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks very much, Glynn. Hello and welcome to everybody. Thanks for joining the call. I would suggest that we start discussing the draft charter that Avery and Margie have been working on as soon as we can. I'm sure you've all seen it on the wiki. I hope you have, at any rate. And there's quite a lot there that's already sparked some discussion on the list. So over the last few days, there's been quite a lot of emails going back and forth. Margie is our staff support on this drafting team and on this effort for the VIPDP. So she will be producing some short minutes for this call, and she will update the charter according to the discussions on the call. I will be acting as coordinator for the group, and if I will be keeping or trying to keep a line for people who want to contribute and who want to talk, please don't forget to state your name when you do, so that the people on the recording can know who you are. So let's move to the proposed charter then, if everyone could turn to that. Is that on the Adobe?
Yes, it
is. Okay, sorry,
yes,
I took... Okay, so we have... I'm looking at the wiki at the moment, and we have a set of objectives that have been included in the charter with alternatives offered. The first objective doesn't seem to have sparked that much discussion. Is there anyone that would like to comment on it, or should we proceed under the assumption that that objective is everyone on the group is in full agreement with that objective? Is there anyone that would like to speak to that?
This is Brian Q.
Brian, yes?
Yeah.
Would
Brian.
Anyone else?
Tony Harris just put me in the queue.
Okay,
please.
Tony.
And Margie.
Margie. Anyone else? Brian, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and thanks, everybody. I think the only word that jumped out to me was the word standard. When it says deviate from standard forms of registry, registrar, separation, equal access. And this is offered from the point of view that the concept of vertical integration, as we all know, is very much an antitrust competition law issue. And it has its own meaning and its own forms in a very broad, broad context, a context outside of the forms that have been implemented within ICANN. And the second lens to look at it through is that hopefully if we clearly articulated our points over the course of time, the track record shows that ICANN has employed a variety of forms of vertical integration or constraints on vertical integration. So the use of the word standard, I'm not sure, is the best word, because I think we have to refer to those that have been employed by ICANN. I don't know that that makes them necessarily standard, because there's been different approaches over time, even within the short 10 years of ICANN's history. And there's also a broader set of vertical integration forms that exist outside ICANN but have a similar relationship to competition principles. That's really the only commentary I have.
Thanks, Brian. So are you suggesting we just remove the word standard? Is that correct?
Well, I'll replace it with something that is more precise to, you know, what ICANN has employed.
Do you have a suggestion?
It could be as simple as existing, or
well, existing. Would everyone be okay with replacing standard in that first objective with existing?
I'm not sure that then that might not capture everything. You know, pre-existing forms, perhaps, or something in that direction.
This is Avery. I'm not sure I would be, but we.
Okay, Avery. Would you like to take that point up?
Well, existing, the problem was, I have no problem with the, and I guess I'm jumping in queue, but I have no problem with finding a word other than standard, because there is not an established, there may be de facto standards, but it gets really confusing. Existing would mean that anything that is currently practiced is fine. And I don't know that we want to go quite that far either, do we? I mean, perhaps that's a question. So it's...
Well, and let me clarify, upon reflection, because we showed that over the course of time you had a set of 2001 contracts that had certain forms of separation, and then from the 2005 contracts you had other forms of separation. Existing is actually too narrow a term if we're going to go in that direction. That's why I think pre-existing leapt to my mind as being the all-inclusive, but talking about the universe of ICANN forms of separation and equal access. That's what I'm driving at.
So in a sense, this Avery, again, you want to say sort of deviate from the forms of registrar, separation, equal access that have been defined in current contracts.
And current may be too limiting.
That would be too limiting.
Because
there
were different forms in the 2001 set of contracts which came out in our discussions. I don't think this is a go to the mat type of discussion either, or point that I'm making. I just think it's very important that we be precise and careful, because these terms have distinct meanings in the broader set of competition and antitrust, and they also have specific forms as employed by ICANN, and I believe that those are the ones we're going to be making reference to as we do our work.
And we are in full agreement with you there. We have two suggestions for the moment, existing or current. Those have been made by both yourselves, Avery and Barry Cobb, on the Adobe. I suggest that we, unless we're able to find other possibles during the 5 minutes that we're having on this conversation, perhaps we can move on and go back to this on the list and try and refine that objective one there, just to make sure that everyone's happy with that.
Yeah, this is Avery. If I could recommend, put the word in ellipsis, put the word standard in ellipsis, and then we can come back to that word later.
Well, we have, if you look at the bottom of your screen, you'll see the notes there being taken by Margie. And by the way, Liz, yes, I didn't mean minutes. I did mean highlights. So don't worry. I'm not asking Margie to produce minutes for this. I will then work with Margie off call on refining the suggestions that have been made, so that we can put those to the list. Can I go back to the queue, Tony?
Yes, I'll stand down right now. Actually, my comment I'll keep for a little later.
Okay. Margie, and I see Jeff on raising his hand. Margie?
Oh, actually, Brian made the comment that I wanted to make, so I think I'm fine.
Okay, Jeff?
Thanks. Maybe it's simplistic, but I'm not sure even what that, how that, if, is that last sentence needed there. It's just something, we can think about it. I agree with you that I'd like to move on, but that was just my point. I'm not sure if it's needed and how it pertains in. What that objective would look like if that was stricken, but we can move on from that and put it on email list for the wording.
I'm not clear. When you say that last sentence, there's only one sentence in there.
No, sorry. Where after it says, can permit vertical integration, but to strike the part or remove or to the otherwise deviate from standard forms of registry, registrar, the we're talking about the standard forms or the current or the pre-existing, that sentence, if that's needed, that last, sorry, not sentence, those last few words, but I'll point that on, I'll put that on an email because I agree, I don't think it's worth going through the wording right now.
Okay. So please, if you could do that, and we'll try and pick that up with Margie when we work on this. Let's move on to Objective 2 then, if everyone's okay. Does anyone else want to comment on Objective 1, or is everyone okay to move on? Hearing no comments. Objective 2 we have. We've had some discussion there. We had the first alternative that Avery suggested. Does the I'll just read that, unless Avery, I'll read it. Does the recommendation made in DAG V3 meet the criteria set in Objective 1? If not, make recommendations on how those criteria can be met. And Milton offered the following alternative: determine whether the cross-ownership and joint marketing arrangements contemplated by the DAG V3 recommendations are allowable under current policy. So we have two different possibilities. It would be nice to try and, on this call, resolve, go one way or the other, or try and mix the two, but try and determine where we want to go there. Let's open that up for comments. Does anyone want to get in the queue at this stage?
Hand. Where do you place your hand?
Sorry, I missed that. Was that someone? Avery. Go ahead, Avery.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm trying to turn on my mic. Oh, my mic is on. Sorry. I'm confused. Okay. Yeah, I think that somewhere between the two of them, there may be something. So I think what's wrong with the alternative that I've offered still is when it says, does the recommendation made in DAG V3, well, what recommendation? DAG V3 is full of recommendations, whereas some wordage like Milton has in his, cross-ownership and joint marketing arrangement, though I'm not sure that's the right thing to call the, you know, 100,000 exception for, you know, selling that's in there. So I'm not sure exactly what would be called the exception, but that's certainly what's missing from mine. What I find problematic with Milton still, and of course Milton's not here, is the allowable under current policy. Now, Objective 1 is trying to define what are the, to set policy and procedures. And so my thinking was it's not under some current policy, which at the moment seems very, you know, amorphous, but it's under the policy that we're defining in Objective 1. So I somehow think that the one I'm offering needs a little bit more clarification in the first sentence as to what recommendation we're talking about, but I think Milton's needs to be looked at in terms of is it current policy or is it Objective 1.
Bearing in mind that you just mentioned the 100K limit, which has, of course, disappeared from the third version of the DAG.
That's right.
So we may need to be more specific. You know, if we mention existing DAG, so far the latest version of the DAG is the third version, and that now has four alternatives. We've gone back to the previous before DAG V2 states. So we may want to be more precise there I'm not clear on what Milton means by joint marketing arrangements contemplated by the DAG B3. So I would personally have a bit of a problem going just with that wording, because I don't really understand it, and Milton's not here to explain it. So that obviously we still need to work on that one. Margie, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, I wanted to agree that DAG 3 doesn't have recommendations. I've actually clipped the excerpts from DAG 3 on this topic. If you'd like to see it, I could pull it up, and maybe that'll help us be more specific. But what Aubrey was talking about, the 100,000 thing, was in a prior version. Would you like me to pull it up?
Yep, please do. It's really what we need to I think, to move forward on this, we need to ensure we understand what this objective is really trying to do. Are we just talking about cross-ownership or not? And I don't think we are. So I would agree with Avery that we need to kind of sprinkle a little bit of both alternatives that have been offered. But I would say that we also need to be more precise in determining that objective. And obviously it doesn't help that we haven't finalized objective one if we make a reference to it. So is that up there? Check, go back. Okay, so we have, thanks Margie, we have the four possibilities there on the screen. Going from no restrictions to complete restrictions. Does the group want to recommend going with one of these objectives? I'm not sure that we do. I don't know what others think. Anyone have any thoughts on this?
Can you repeat your last sentence, please?
Can I do what?
Repeat that last sentence. I didn't catch what you just said.
I can't remember it word for word, but I was asking if people feel that we should reference one of these in our work or not. One of the four. Can you see?
Yeah.
Are you using the Adobe,
yes,
JT?
Yes, I'm looking at the Adobe right now. Well, I think this work is pretty much linked to the DAG, so it would make sense, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, you're kind of cutting out. Are you saying that it
would make sense to link it one way or another, in my mind?
I'm not hearing you properly. I'm sorry. Did anyone else catch that?
A link would make sense.
Okay.
Between with the proposal of the DAG.
Okay. Okay. So a link would make sense. Avery, you have your hand raised.
Yeah. And I think that I think following on the link would make sense. One recommendation I could make to changing the one I wrote, which would be more correct perhaps, is how do the options offered in DAG V3 meet the criteria set in V1, in Objective 1? And then I don't know.
This is Brian.
Sorry, was that someone else?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I was just muttering on. Please cut me off.
Who's that cutting you off?
It's Brian.
Brian?
You can look at it through a different lens, too. Is the work of this group to establish some guidelines for ICANN staff with regard to the questions that we agreed to address? And that work could be done and establish some guidelines that then staff reacted to without a direct tie of our work to the four options that currently exist in DAG 3. One good reason to take that approach is that, as we've seen from DAG 1, DAG 2, DAG 3, and the CRADA report, these things have shifted and evolved over the course of the discussion. These are moving targets, if you will. That's just one way to approach it. The other overarching question I have is I need to understand the objective of Objective 1 as written. Is the objective of the work intended to directly impact the next DAG iteration? Is that one of the goals here? And if so, it's not explicitly stated.
So I would say no to both counts, to be honest. We've had a discussion on the list. I did ask. Someone suggested that the work that's going to be done on this PDP would have to be done before DAG V4 could come out, which was actually the opposite of what staff suggested in the issues report that led to this PDP being initiated. I think we have to be clear that what we're doing in this drafting team is drafting a charter so that the working group that's going to look at how to set policy on this topic has a set of guidelines to guide its work. That we are not here to suggest changes to the DAG. We should not, to be honest, even be looking at the DAG in terms of completing our work before or after the DAG, because these are two independent tracks, or at least that's the way staff have suggested we should do it. Am I correct there, Margie?
Yes, that's correct.
So, Brian, to your both of your points, I don't think we can link this to the DAG in that way.
That's okay. That's helpful clarification. I guess then I'd go back and look at the proposed objectives through that lens and ask again, what is the objective of Objective 1? Is it to provide these guideposts for the work of the working group or something different?
All these objectives are there for the working group. What we're doing here is determining how, by what are the goals that the working group is going to have to meet. And these are suggestions for them for the goals that they will have to meet and the deadline that the council has set for this work. Is that clear for you?
Yes.
Okay. But I do take your point, which is a point I was making earlier on, that we need to be clear on Objective 1 before we work on Objective 2 if we are going to reference Objective 1 in Objective 2. I think Objective 1 is pretty clear. You know, I don't think the changes that you've suggested would actually change the actual meaning of Objective 1. So I do feel confident that we can look at Objective 2 and have a clear understanding of what the first objective is. Do people not agree with that? I see Jeff has his hand up.
Yes, Stefan, I do agree with that, but I actually was referring back to an earlier point that you brought up, which this was, I guess, the email you had initially sent and Margie responded to, where I believe that this was the objectives of, well, let's call it the overall objective of the group, is for this to be considered for DAG 4, not to be a gating item for it, but to be considered for it, and that was the idea here, or the objective, and that it's not independent of the DAG. I think, just going back to that question, that I thought that was the goal here for the next DAG, to have this in there, and one of the objectives of this group to have it sort of clarified for there, but as we said, not to be a gating item for the next DAG.
Well, staff was precise in its issues report, saying that one of the reasons it recommended a PDP not be initiated was that whatever work was done on this, it would be too late to include it in the first round of applications for the new GTLDs, and therefore could not be included in the DAG. This doesn't mean that if we are able to meet the deadline, I'm sure staff that is working on the DAG will look at the work that we're doing and that the working group will do. But the recommendation that staff made clearly was that this was not a prerequisite for the fourth version of the deck. And I see every you have your hand up. Can I just say that if you are making points on the chat, it may help to make them also on, you know, by speaking up, because I'm unable to keep track of everything. Avery, please.
Okay. And I believe that whether it gates the DAG or not, it must gate the first round. We did not accept the staff's recommendation that we not do a PDP, and I think by setting a 16-week deadline, I think the council basically said this needs to be done before final decisions. Now, whether DAG 4 includes with finality what they are going to allow in terms of, you know, vertical integration. Obviously, DAG V3 can, or DAG V4 can say, listen, there is no vertical integration, there is no, you know, joint marketing, everything is as it was, and then, yes, there's no change in policy. But if there's anything different that may or may not be a change in policy, I think it has to wait for this. That is why I believe, I mean, I wasn't part of the council, but that is why I believe the council's view was do it fast so it doesn't gate it. But, I mean, I believe that not doing it is, you know, not the basically going ahead with the first round without having resolved these issues unless status quo holds is, and a lot of good reasons for status quo not holding, you know, the boutique and the dot brands. So, you know, that's handout.
That wasn't what was suggested, going ahead without resolving these issues. What was suggested was that any policy that was set out of this work wouldn't be applicable to existing registries, and to it wouldn't be possible to include it in time for the first round. But I see Margie has her hand up, so you may want to push those points further.
Yeah, a couple points responding to Avery, and we cover it fairly detailed in the issues report. You know, it's difficult to identify what is status quo, and Brian raised this earlier. There's all different approaches in the you know, in the current agreement, and so when you throw out terms like is it a change of policy, we don't see that there is a policy on this point. There's a practice of registry agreements with different provisions, and that's all laid out in the issues report. But I think it's, you know, we probably need to be a little more clear on what we're talking about, because I think there's a misconception on whether there actually is a policy on this right now, and there is a status quo, because if you really want to look at what the status quo is, it's everywhere with different models for different registries.
But do you feel, or does a group feel, that we should include this in the charter, some wording referencing both points that have been made, both that is there a policy or not? Avery's just said on the chat there's a de facto policy. Margie and staff have always, I think, made the point that there isn't an actual policy to date on this. Do you feel that we should include some reference to this in the charter, which is what we're working on today? And you also, going back to Avery's earlier suggestion, feel that we should, in the charter somewhere, suggest that this work should be completed in time to be integrated in before the first round.
It's Brian.
Yeah, Brian, please go ahead.
Only to the first point. I'm not going to talk to the timing point. I understand what Margie's point is on the policy question, and the staff issues report also raised doubts about whether there would be any consensus policy developed out of this PDP. And as we all know, that's a fundamental question too, not just policy, but consensus policy. So I think with those as open questions, they are important open questions, and some recognition of them would probably be appropriate, in my view.
Where would you suggest we put these? In some kind of Introduction to the charter before the objectives, obviously, I would have thought.
Yeah, the first word that leapt to mind was preamble, but introduction or something of that nature, probably, if we're going to include it.
Margie, can you make a note of that, that we can include those points as a preamble, and maybe we can refine it off call and put it to the list?
Yeah, can you repeat, sorry, what you think the preamble should cover?
Brian?
Well, Brian? I think there's two points. I think there's the point that you raised, Margie, about the question staff has as to whether these are policy questions. That is something that's been subject to vigorous debate. And then the second question about whether there's consensus policy being developed within the context of this PDP.
Is that okay, Margie?
Yeah, I got it.
Thanks.
Can you put
Christina, what were you saying?
Oh, just put me in the queue. I have also another comment, but later.
Okay. Christina, please go ahead.
Thanks, and apologies in advance. I've been snowed in without electricity. I think it's really important, actually, that we figure out what the standard forms are in terms of just looking at what Aubrey has proposed. I think it will be very helpful to identifying what might be a acceptable path forward. If we actually sit down and identify and chart out, here are the different forms, and here are the characteristics of each form. I mean, I'm sure there are people on this call who've probably rattled that off the top of their head, but I don't know how true that is across the community or how true it will be for the people who are actually in the working group.
Just to make sure I understand what you're suggesting, are you suggesting that we list the possible cases that could be included in the DAG covering this topic?
No, I'm saying let's look at what's at play now. You know, let's go through the GTLD registries, and I actually
they're
going to raise, you know, should all of the objectives be limited to GTLD registries? And so that we can identify what the various forms are, so that we can figure out, is there one form that appears to kind of provide the flexibility that certain participants want and provide some of the kind of consumer protection or prevention or discouragement of kind of bad actor conduct that other folks in the community are concerned about. And that might, and it may be that once we do that, we realize there isn't that much more work to do.
Well, that to me seems like an excellent suggestion. Is that something, Margie, you'd feel is doable? Obviously, I would suggest we limit it to current GTLD contracts and practices, but is that something that can be done?
Yeah, I did a little bit of that legwork already in the issues report, so it's just a matter of repackaging it and making sure I include all registries. I think I had examples as opposed to all of them. But, yes, I could do that.
Right. That would be, I think, very useful. And that might help us refine the objectives once we have that. I don't know who was next, whether it was Margie or Avery, so I'll go to Avery because Margie's just put her hand down.
Okay, thanks. Two things. One, I was really comfortable with that until you said, and we would need that before we talked about the objectives. Just wanted to point out that one of the things that I had put in this first draft was staff begins documentation on existing approaches and practices. That is defining the de facto family cluster or set of things that is today's policy. And, you know, policy can have an extrinsic or an intrinsic definition. And here we're talking about there are a certain number of things. It's obviously not the case that everything is allowed and everything goes and there is no policy. Yes, there's no written down type verbal policy. So I thank Christina because that's kind of what I was driving at on that. The other question on is this consensus policy? And I admit that is an issue in terms of if there's going to be an attempt, which is objective perhaps 3, to recommend changes for existing registries, but certainly for any new registries, this would be not consensus policy, it would be the rules under which they would, the policy under which they were created. So even if it turns out that the issue of is it consensus policy and can anybody be made to change what they do based on some analysis that may or may not happen, that, yes, is a very good question and is a hard question. But and no one ever said in this one that that's what would happen. But certainly in terms of defining the future and bringing up what might be questions with the existing seems possible. And just I wanted to keep clear that because some current registry might not think it's consensus policy does not mean that it's not applicable to a new GTLD.
I understand what you're saying, but one of the things that I meant was that, for example, for Objective 3, I think it would be hard to move much further with that discussion on Objective 3 without having a clear vision provided by staff of what the current situation is for most, well, all of the GTLD registries.
Can I ask a question? You think it would be impossible to put that as an objective for the working group, or it would be impossible to do the work? I agree with the second. But certainly you could have an objective that once you've done the documentation and you look at everything, then you could do Objective 3.
Well, if we are able, let me answer your question in a different way, if we are able all to agree on Objective 3 as it stands, which may be possible, I have no idea, then yes, we can move ahead. And while staff is doing that groundwork, then, you know, we can possibly suggest a charter for the working group in a relatively short amount of time, which is, I think, an objective that we all share. But that would mean us being able to agree on Objective 3. I'm not sure everyone would be confident with doing that without having a clear idea of what's currently the practice. But I may be wrong. Jeff?
Yeah, I think, Stefan, I think you just said it. I'm kind of, I think we're getting into some, Objective 3 seems to me like some, I won't say circular logic, but it's saying, well, one, examine the current GTLD contracts and practices approved by ICANN, which, as for the documentation, I think Margie did most of that in the issues report. If there's some left out, I don't think there were many on that. And then you're saying, if determine if any of them are outside the current policy framework, but wouldn't it be if they were approved by ICANN that they would be within the policy framework regarding vertical integration? And I'm not even sure we know what the current policy framework regarding vertical integration is. So if they're approved, then how are they – and then the last point is saying how do we respond to these exceptions? If they're within – if they're approved and they're within the framework, how are they then exceptions? I'm very confused by that Objective 3. So I don't know if we know what the current policy framework is and if everything is included, if everything is currently approved, then how could they be outside of that or exceptions? I hope that question didn't confuse people even further.
We may need just to make a point of clarification that we're not here to answer what the objectives are setting. That's the working group's job. So we're not here to provide answers to the questions we're asking. We're here to set the questions.
I was just asking if that question makes sense to answer, that can be answered. Now, I'm not looking to answer it, I understand, but what I'm saying is that a question the group can answer, or I'm not sure of that. That's what I'm asking. I don't want to put up questions and objectives that are unanswerable or that will just lead to further confusion.
Yeah, that's clear. Avery, I see your hand up. Can I just say there's 20 minutes left in the call. Is there, at this point, how would people want to move on with these objectives before we start considering the definitions, which I'm hoping we can finalize today? Are people comfortable with Margie and I doing some work and providing suggestions to the list and maybe trying to finalize some objectives on the list? I see, Jeff, you agree with what I'm suggesting. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. Avery.
Okay, yeah, I just typed it. All I was saying is Objective 1 defines what it is you would then compare the existing practice to. In other words, in objective one, you figured out what are the guidelines for doing this, and that's what gets discussed. In objective three, you then compare current practice to those guidelines that you talked about and talked about. Perhaps the guidelines are this kind of protection must exist for consumers, or however it gets put, if it's a set of questions. And then objective three basically takes the thing that was defined that staff would work on, that Margie said that, you know, she would start or has already started, in terms of looking at what's currently in the contracts and saying, hey, does this meet what we think it should do? Then, if it doesn't, then you have the question of, can you start a consensus policy on it? How do you fix this? Do you put out a note where you ask all the registries to voluntarily change what they're doing to try and come more in line with objective one? However that works, that's a different question, and that's why it was only in, and if so, makes recommendations as to how to respond to these things. But the exception is objective one, you've set, this is what a policy should have. This is what the policy should be. In question three, then, you look at current reality and see if it matches what you think should be.
Okay. Thanks for that. And I'll, just one more thing that I'd like to add is that if anyone has, in light of our discussions today, an objective four, I'm not advocating we should have one, but if there is one, please forward it to any suggestions to the list so that Margie and I can take those on board and then come back with a set of objectives for the group. Can we move on to the definitions? I don't know who's working the Adobe, but if that can, or is that just a scroll down? Yes, it is. Okay. So we had basically two major definitions that, Jocelyn, I see what that comment you just made. Do you want to just speak to that briefly, Jocelyn, because that's an important point in my view.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, there are some who believe that this topic of vertical integration is being leveraged as a method of creating delay before the ultimate final application guidebook can be delivered. And we should probably be cognizant of the perception of that and make sure to do our work expediently.
Okay.
It might be worth capturing that in the objective.
Okay, Margie will take that on board, and I agree with Barry's point that we might want to have objectives. I would suggest that if we are able to determine objectives by the end of next week, that would be useful, I think. I don't think it's realistic for us to try and meet the next council meeting deadline for suggestions and to provide the council with a suggested charter. I think that would be too difficult for us at this stage. But I think we can aim to finalize the objectives. If we can finalize the definitions today in the last 15 minutes that we have left, then I think we can finalize the that deadline would be tomorrow, Christina. So that would be impossible to meet, although we could ask for an exception. But I think it would still be hard. I think we should work towards the end of next week to finalize the objectives. So let's move on to the definitions. We have a definition for VI, which is, I'll just read that out, defined as a business structure in which there is no separation between the registry operator and the registrar in relation to a particular GTLD. They are either owned, I suppose that's a typo, and operated by the same company, or have another contractual affiliation that covers the specific GTLD, and the domain name supplier is not required to provide full and equal access to independent firms to sell names under its GTLD. Then there were alternatives supplied for a definition for cross-ownership. Can I just ask, first of all, does anyone have any major problems with the definition of VI as it's stated there? No?
Well, this is Brian.
Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah. Again, I think precision is important. It says ownership, owner and operated by the same company, and those have precise meanings, or have another contractual affiliation that covers the specific TLD. Covers a specific TLD is a bit vague, and I think an issue is control. It's not just ownership, it's control. And you can have control through a contract, depending on the nature of the commercial relationship as well. So I'm bringing these issues up as a matter of precision and eliminating vagueness.
Okay. Well, I don't think we have... I think it's fair to say that the first sentence doesn't pose any specific problems. Then moving on to the points that you're making, they are either owned and operated by the same company. Now, what could we suggest there? Or have another contractual affiliation that covers a specific TLD. And we could add control there, or replace covers, which is vague, by control, that controls the specific GTLD. Is that something that everyone would be happy with to start with?
Can I get in the queue, Tony Harris?
Yes, please, Tony. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the last part of the sentence, and the domain name supplier is not required to provide full and equal access. It may be you could have a case theoretically of a vertical integration as it is described previously in this sentence, and it might be in the interests of this company, this vertically integrated company, to provide full and equal access to independent firms. So perhaps the definition does not per se signify that the domain name supplier is not required to provide full and equal access. It may be the case, you know.
Are you suggesting that we strike that last part of the phrase?
Well, I don't know, but it seems that it may not necessarily be the case, right? You could be vertically integrated and say, hey, I want the reseller chain to handle this also. It's like the case where you have a factory that makes jeans. They have their own outlet, but they're also interested in having, the retail chain handle their jeans, to the market.
I'm glad you brought this up because we discussed this on the list. I had a problem with the not required to provide full and equal access because my understanding of what I think it was Milton who suggested this. My understanding of what he was suggesting was going against the basic recommendation that all the accredited registrars be treated equally and without discrimination. But so I was not at ease with that last part of the definition, I have to agree, I have to admit. Can I just go back, because if we're able to close some points, that might be useful. There's been a suggestion for the second sentence. They are either owned or controlled, by the same company or have another contractual affiliation that covers... what was the word that we controls the specific GTLD. Up to that point, is that okay for everybody? Okay. So
gets more.
Sorry, who was that?
It's Brian. I think that's more precise.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. So, Margie, did you get that?
Yes.
Margie? Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
right. Jeff, you had a point that you wanted to make.
And this is referring to what I guess what you were just discussing about the sorry, about the last point in the sentence with the equal access. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tony
made that point. Yeah,
Tony, on the vertical integration. I think I just want to be clear that there's that's just a definition, and that I think that one of the other pieces we've discussed, and I think that was in DAG 3, is some of the points that I know that this is called about vertical integration, but that we want to make the distinction between vertical integration and cross-ownership. So because in the I think they're sort of getting blended together, and I want to make sure that they're not, because they are two separate items. What Milton, I believe, what he was saying was that sort of the vertical integrated entity is what he's saying, and then there's also a cross-owned entity. So those are two separate ones and two separate, I believe, items to discuss, because I hope that makes sense, that the cross-ownership, you could have cross-ownership and require full and equal access, and that would not be a vertically integrated company, if that makes sense. I think we're just kind of hung up on that vertically integrated company is a cross-owned company, and that's not true.
Okay, I'm not sure actually anyone's actually said that, but perhaps, I don't know. One thing is clear, we are working on two separate definitions, and part of the reason for that is to make sure they are seen as being very separate things. So VI and CO are both defined in our charter. But I'm wondering if the group wants to leave that last part from the comma and the domain name supplier, that last part of the VI definition in there or not.
Might I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Perhaps we could say, and the domain name supplier may not be required, but not make it is,
mm-hmm.
because there may be cases, like if it's a sponsored TLD, then obviously he may not be required to provide full and equal access. I mean, take the case of .post.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you leave it conditional, it doesn't really get tied down.
Is everyone comfortable with that? The change being proposed is, and the domain name supplier may not, instead of is not,
may not be
required to provide full and equal access to a blah, blah, blah. Is that okay with everybody? Jeff? Do you still have your hand up?
Yeah. No. Let me put it down. Sorry. I'm okay with that. I need to just think about it. But my whole just to reiterate my point is that I just wanted to make sure that as we're going through the definitions, that we don't treat cross ownership as a form of vertical integration. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So can we move with that change and move on to the cross ownership definition? Okay, hearing no objections. Now, we have two separate definitions being proposed. One is cross-ownership is defined as the controlling ownership of a share of a registry by a registrar or vice versa. And Milton suggested CO is defined as the ownership of a controlling share of a registry by a registrar or vice versa. Addition, while maintaining the contractual and functional separation and equal access arrangements required by ICANN policies and contracts. Now, would people be how comfortable is the group with Milton's additions? I mean, that version of the definition does seem more comprehensive.
Yes.
Is everyone okay with using that? Let me put the question that way.
This is Brian. I'm going to go back to the last speaker's comments about distinguishing between vertical integration and cross-ownership. And remember, in this entire debate, there was
cross-ownership, there was 15% minority stakes, there is a prohibition on selling in your own TLD, there's equal access and non-discrimination provisions. And each of these elements has their own nature, has their own purpose, has their own definition. And some of them are implementations or safeguards effectively. I think there is value where we can in clearly defining each of them in their own right and not necessarily creating definitional interrelationships between these different elements that either cloud the meaning of the single item, whether it's cross-ownership, whether it's prohibition on selling in your own TLD, whether it's, you know, equal access. That's I think we're better served by trying to treat each of them definitionally in their own right, and then work on their role, their function, their interrelationship part of the working group.
Okay, thanks. So, how to move on? Are you suggesting that we add another alternative, that we use one of the alternatives that's been suggested, that we don't use a definition of cross-ownership? That, can you just clarify
that? In the immediate moment, what I'm suggesting is that the first one, to my mind, is more useful than the second one, which ties three different elements together in one definition.
Okay. Is everybody okay with that?
It's Jeff here, sorry. Yeah. Not necessarily, because then we would need, because that was the difference, then we go back to the first one as well on that, and we got to think about how it relates to this PDP and saying, okay, the cross-ownership is different than vertical integration, and there is the shares, but in a new entity or whatever going forward, the registrar, that we want to put the different pieces saying, okay, they would be bound by contractual and functional, you know, the arrangements required by ICANN. I think it's not just, hey, somebody owns 51% and that's it. I think there's more to it, especially as it relates to this PDP.
Okay. It sounds like we're not going to resolve this in the last 2 minutes. Jeff, Brian, could I at least ask one of you to suggest... Well, Brian, you're satisfied with Avery's proposal, so there's, you know, that's clear. Jeff, you're suggesting something else. Could I ask you to send that to the list?
No, Milton's, actually.
Okay, sorry. I misunderstood that. Well, in that case, we need to reach some sort of consensus. Milton's is an extension of Avery's. But we can't have one and the other. No, it is not, Avery. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. Basically, what I'm trying to say is there are two concepts here, and there are many ways for something to be vertically integrated. Cross-ownership under certain conditions may be one of them. One can also have a cross-ownership relationship without being vertically integrated, for example, by use of the full and equal access to all registrars rule. So that makes the two definitions really orthogonal to each other. And so if you extend cross-ownership to include the rules that say, but it can't be this or it can be that, you've basically not extended it, you've changed it. So
I see your point, but there's not full consensus on this from the group.
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't saying this should be agreed to by everybody. I was just saying that I don't see it that way.
Okay, right. It's 8 o'clock. It's not 8 o'clock everywhere, but it's the hour's up. I suggest we haven't been able to do everything that we set out to do. I suggest we take it to the list. I would like to set a deadline for any suggestions for both these definitions and the objectives by the end of next week. Perhaps we can set a deadline for Wednesday for any suggestions, and then give ourselves a couple of days on this to be able to initiate discussion on those suggestions and then reach consensus. Does that sound okay for everybody? So that would be Wednesday deadline for submissions, and then discussion, another couple of days of discussion, and we work to finalize those elements by Friday COB.
Friday the 19th?
This Friday.
Oh, this Friday. Okay.
Sorry, you said next week.
Yeah, you did say next week. This Friday
of next week. So, yes, Friday. Sorry, yeah, you're right. I'm getting confused with my calendar. I did mean the 19th, yes.
Okay.
Is that okay for everybody? Or is that too much time? Would people like to cut that shorter? I have no problem trying to work faster if we're able to. I just don't want to set limit, you know, deadlines that people don't feel they can meet.
I, for one, know I won't be available that much next week. So anything that can be discussed this week is best for me.
Well, in that case, would people feel more comfortable with deadlines for submissions this Thursday, the 11th, and perhaps giving up until the weekend for discussions and a final determination on Monday, the 15th? Are people more comfortable with that? I take that as a yes, then, if no one says anything. So let's work to that, then. Let's set the deadline for submissions. Please submit any suggestions that you may have by this Thursday for both the objectives and the definitions. And we will then work on the list to determine which of these suggestions we want to take on board and try and reach consensus. Margie, could you please send the bullets of the points that have been, the edits that have been proposed today to the list so that those can be turned into starting points for that discussion?
Yes, I can do that. And I also wanted to ask, should we try to schedule another call already based on the schedule? When would you want the call to take place?
I was thinking that we should schedule perhaps another call in the week starting the 15th. Then we could have staff send out the doodle, or we could decide that we can try and do it next Tuesday. I can tell you that I won't be able to make next Tuesday, but if that's the only time that other people can do it, then perhaps we can move that way, or we can work on the doodle. But I would suggest we have a call next week.
Wednesday suit you better, Stefan?
It depends what time, Glenn.
Okay.
I let's not discuss that here, but can you get a doodle sent out for next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Okay, I'll do that.
For me, it's easier. What's today? Today's was 18 UTC. For me, it's easier 17 UTC, but, you know, whatever the majority can do is best. Okay? Thanks very much for everyone's input and participation, and apologies for not covering as much as we'd hoped. Let's try and do that on the list. I'll speak to you all soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.